You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh.
Hi, my guest today is Jordan Geiger. Jordan and I went to Juilliard together as actors back in the day. We overlapped by a year or two. And since then, he's decided to stop acting and is now pursuing photography full time. I was so curious to speak with him about that transition and what he's interested in exploring these days in the medium of photography. He is in the midst of moving from New York to LA as we speak. So Jordan, I hope that is going really smoothly. And you can check out his beautiful work at jjgeigerphotos.com. He takes just beautiful, intimate portraits. So you should definitely look them up. And I hope you enjoy the 138th episode of The Compass. So how do you try to keep from going to the dark side as an artist?
Well, I knew this was your first question, so I've had time to kind of think about it.
And I guess what does the dark side look like for you most often, as well as kind of wrapped up in that?
Well, I think the dark side looks like me not believing in myself anymore. It's like the moment where you feel like, oh, I can't even get behind me. So how can I expect anybody else to?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, when you're there, it's like, what else is there then? Which is terrifying. Because I think what we do as artists, as freelancers, as anybody who's creative or creating, especially to make a living, is constantly having to promote and toot your own horn in a good way, and so when I feel like I don't even know how to do that, how to promote myself, how to feel good about my work or my worth, I think I just know it's gonna pass. I know, like, give it some time. Try not to be too hard on yourself. Kind of just like weather the storm. Because I'm like also sort of prone to little bouts of depression, or it's something that I know like will come every couple of months. And so I've learned, oh, this is that feeling again.
Right. I've survived this before.
Right. And the only thing I can do is just bear down. Relax if I can. I don't know. Try to maybe like do something active and just know it's gonna yeah. pass.
What do you do when you have obligations that you have to work or be creative during those times, mm-hmm. when you are feeling like,
well, weirdly enough,
why is this?
I think those are I think it's not happening in those moments because I'm doing something, because I'm working. Gotcha. It's like as soon as I have any downtime or an elongated period where I don't have anything to do is when,
yeah,
that all comes down. And the second somebody's like, "Hey, can you do this for me?" I'm like, "Oh my god, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
no worries.
I've been
fine this whole time." yeah.
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 That is so tricky because that it's like you have very little control over when someone else asks you for work.
Right.
I mean, you can always give yourself assignments or give yourself projects to work on.
I was just listening to
that's the question.
I was listening to Trevor Noah be interviewed by I forget who was interviewing, but he was talking about how he also deals with some depression and I think I'm really similar to him. I'm so similar to Trevor Noah. We're similar in this that he talked about he'll have like a day where he accomplishes so much and he feels so good, and then it's the next day where he's like, well, what now? Because I did everything that I needed to do, and that's like the darkness.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like with those reoccurring bouts of depression, were you aware of them when you were younger? When do you feel like you articulated that for yourself?
My mom always told me to be aware of that because it's constant on my dad's side. It's pretty, it's in the family. And I never really felt like, I don't need medication for it. It's not, that's not how I have been able to deal with it or need to deal with it. But I feel like maybe in college is when I really started to notice it.
And that Juilliard was college for you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Juilliard was undergrad. Yeah. But it was like in relationship to like breakups, or it was like the big kind of like heartbreaks that happened first. It didn't feel like it was in relation to school or like anything that I was like doing or not doing
or
in school.
Or like just a chemical thing coming out of your body. Yeah,
it was like,
it seemed justified in a way.
Yeah, yeah. But then I think I started to realize like, oh, sometimes it would come on not during those periods, and I think I felt like, well, everybody must deal with it this way or have these feelings. And then I kind of started to realize, oh, I don't think actually everyone does. And these sort of like 3-day periods of just like, oh God, I'm nothing. This is not going to work out at all. This is going to totally fail. And I'm not going to get out of this feeling.
Right.
And then one day, you know, you just wake up and you're out of it. And
so we'll get to talk about all sorts of things.
Oh.
But I'm curious how you would describe your work as an artist right now. Because I know, obviously, when we were in school together, you were focusing mostly on acting. Now you do a ton of photography.
Yeah.
When people ask you what you do, what do you say these days?
I say I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Which is weird. And I think that's also why I had to kind of don a little pseudonym in a way at first. I was like, I'm not acting anymore. It's not my life. I don't want that. But I feel like my name is attached to that person
just
or that
going
career.
By Jordan.
Yeah, just going by Jordan. So I was like, I'm just going to like change my like Instagram name that has my photo work on it to JJ, because my middle name's Joseph and people call me JJ. And then now it's kind of this thing where people are like, what do I call you? Because I'll still sign emails and stuff, Jordan, or it's just like this weird little thing. But yeah, I say I'm a photographer and I don't act at all anymore. And I mean, I will if people want me to help out on like a reading or a short film or something, and I feel like it's kind of low stakes, but I feel like those skills are not in my body anymore, or like they're not as easily accessible as before. Like I think I'd have to really like go back to school again in a way. Like how do I work this? How do I like,
how do I breathe?
How do I do
when I'm
scene study?
Like,
yeah. How do I breathe? But I think I've had a lot of time to think about it, 'cause I couldn't help but feeling like I had abandoned this thing that I spent a lot of time doing, and in like, you know, the best institution in the world that very few people get to go to. And I felt really grateful to be there, and then to feel like I'm not doing that anymore was kind of a hard thing to separate from.
Right. Because you almost feel like that's like an investment.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to figure out, it's actually all the same in all of that work. is the exact same work that I'm doing now. It's still storytelling. It's still dealing with people one-on-one in a really intimate way. It's all the same. It's just still image.
Have you always been into photography?
Kind of.
Or did it happen after school?
My grandpa was a photographer for the Navy. And so he gave me his cameras in high school and I would just play around with them. And then I think film was like always my deep love. Mm-hmm. And so after school, I was like, I'm gonna like get into that world. I'm gonna start making films. And I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. This is like, even just to like make a little short one takes up so much time and money and other people's time and money. And I was like, I need to have a thing that I can just have for myself in this moment. And it would, you know, it was just a still image rather than a moving one. Yeah. So that's where I am now.
When you started playing around with it, has your evolution as of a photographer, has it mostly been just through the practice of it, or have you found certain resources, or did you take little classes or things to like move your training on more quickly?
I thought about it, but then everyone I talked to or heard, they were like, don't waste your time going back to school for photos. It's like going to art school again. Just like you can go on YouTube, and that's pretty much where I learned everything technically. It was just YouTube tutorials. There's
so
like
useful.
It's so amazing.
I mostly use it for like home repairs.
yeah same thing. You're like, I don't know how to do this, and someone's like, well, I've made this video for 1.5 million people. So
I wonder if one day I'm gonna feel so compelled to make an instructional YouTube video to share with others.
What would it be about?
I don't know.
Podcasting.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what would I feel that strongly about that I would say?
Yeah, we're like thinking about
this needs to be shared.
Buying a car. Are we going to need to buy a car in LA? And I was like, I've never had to buy a car in my life. I don't know. Do we lease one? Do we get a used? Like, what is this? And so I went to YouTube, and there's this like old mechanic who's like, I've done this for 50 years. This is how you check the car is good and make sure that you call the insurance. And I was just like, oh my God, I would have no idea.
Tell me all the things.
Yeah, YouTube is amazing. It's truly like where I learned all the technical stuff.
And what has it been like building your business? Is your freelance work as a photographer your main income now? Do you still do... How do you put together the like financial quilt of being an artist?
Well, I was serving like pretty full time. So basically like 2016, which was like the worst year for everybody
America.
On the face of the planet, was also the worst year of my life. Mm-hmm. There was so much death around me and loss and divorce and like every possible version of loss happened in that year. And that was also the year that I was like, I don't think I want to act anymore. And so I was just in restaurants full time and had nothing else to do. And it was horrible. I was so sad and depressed and in the dark place. And I was just starting to do photos, and I got fired from that restaurant job. And I was like, okay, I have to figure out how to make money off of this, because I can't be in restaurants anymore. I was also dealing with like so much social anxiety from all of the loss. It just like made me not be able to have small talk conversations. I was like, I don't know, death is happening everywhere. How do you want that steak cooked?
Tell you I am.
So I just started, I think, trying to take my work I think I tried to understand my worth more as an artist. And even if I didn't really believe it, I kind of had to fake it just so I could not be in that restaurant anymore in the business. But it's also a really good survival job. So I basically am like half and half at this point. I cut my time down in restaurant work by half, and the other half is photos. And sometimes photos are really slow and it's really scary, and thank God I have a little side gig. But it's I'm working my way to the full income.
Yes, fingers so crossed. Good. I know. So close.
I know. It's...
Has there been anything surprising or surprisingly tricky about figuring out what you do when your photography is your business and how you write contracts or how you ask for money or like stuff like that?
I think that,
or how you negotiate for yourself.
Yeah, it's hard because I don't want to lowball, because I don't want to lower the bar for everybody else.
Right.
But I also know I don't have certain skills, and I would be lying to you if I said I could charge you for X, Y, and Z. But I think kind of the biggest shock was moving more into the fashion world and really understanding that there is zero money there, and you will actually spend money, your own money, on shoots.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I know. You would never guess.
You would never guess, because it's all luxury and... But it's all an
illusion.
Is it
kind of like acting where they're like, this is going to be such a great showcase for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need real money.
And people are like, sure, because I need to be seen.
Right.
Which is like, not okay. We have to pay artists. And it's a really bad cycle, because we want our work in publications. Publications, well, there's not really money in print at all anymore. But they also need content. So it's this sort of like, you find the person who needs the content, they need your work, and it feels like a fair trade in a way, but nobody is getting paid.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems, it's an illusion. It's like totally, like,
bizarre.
Everyone looks great and is at parties and is having a great time, but it's like, nobody's making money from this, and nobody is paying their bills from this. Everyone is like doing headshots for money, or... restaurant work, or like some sort of side gig.
Have you met a lot of other photographers so you're able to like talk about the nitty gritty of like, okay, how do you approach this? How do you do this? What do you make?
A little bit. I feel like not as transparent as I would want to be, or maybe I also lie to myself a little bit and think, oh, they're making it work somehow. I'm like a little bit underneath them. I'm a couple steps below. So I feel like it's that trick of like, I want to be seen on the same level as these people, but I can't show my cards and be like, how do you do this?
Right, right, right.
But I think that's, who cares, right? It's like, we need to just talk to each other and be open about these things, because otherwise we're just, you're just alone and nobody's actually like getting what they should be getting.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and it's all very similar. I had Marla Phelan on. Do you know Marla? She was a dancer in my class at Juilliard, and she's done a lot of like big shows and stuff, but now she's freelancing, and she said the exact same thing about like, if I do movement direction or something and I end up having to pass on a gig to someone else, I tell them like, this is what you should charge, because this is what I would charge.
That's really good.
You know, and yeah, you want everyone to keep that bar, because otherwise... it'll, you know, end up messing it up for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's maybe like a little more territorial feelings around the photo world, or, I think because the paid gigs are so few and far between, it's like, you don't pass. So everyone is kind of like holding down their territory, holding down that job.
Right.
Is my feeling. I don't know if any of that's true. It's just sort of like from the outside a little bit that I'm like, I feel like this is kind of how this is working. And that's also why I'm like, is this the right world for me? Is that what I want to be a part of? Right. Is that the work that I want to be doing? Because I also don't really, maybe I'm like showing all my cards today. Maybe I'm never going to get hired after this. But I also like don't particularly care about fashion, or I think it can be a really great use of self-expression and a form of identity, but I think like the actual business of it, I just have really strong ethical feelings against it. I feel like it's no good. So I know I'm like I'm always just oscillating between that, like, do I want to be here? Do I not want to be here?
What's your favorite kind of work? Like, if you, for a paid gig, mm-hmm. like, what's your favorite?
People. Kind of thing? It's like, it's got to be people first and foremost. Like, someone with a story, it's like, it's just like a portrait. It's just like them not trying to sell me anything. They're right. just like, it's just about their story. And if there's like a fun fashion element, that's great, but it, I don't.
That's about them expressing themselves.
Yeah. It's just to elevate who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of what the shirt is or something.
Totally. Yeah. 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 I know. There's one gig coming up that I'm excited about. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to jinx it just in case it's canceled or something like that. Fair enough. But, yeah. but it's exactly that. And it's like, oh, this is going to be, these are the people. That's the kind of thing when you like look back, I think, on your work. That's the stuff I'll be really proud about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what are you saying to the world, really?
Yeah. Everybody should go check out his website because there's some beautiful, beautiful pictures on there. Thanks. I saw those pictures that you took recently with Pippa.
Yeah.
Who was in your class at Juilliard, our friend Pippa Sue. And I was like, how amazing. I always love, I mean, when you see friends acting in the same thing together, mm-hmm. or in this case, like just knowing that you took those photos of her for whatever magazine that was or whatever website.
Yeah.
How fun.
It was so fun. I know. I feel the same way seeing all this Shakespeare in the Park right now.
Mm-hmm. I got to see it. It was so good.
I've heard it's so good. I've heard it's so good. But yeah, Grant and Jeremy, who were in my class, mm-hmm. and then Danielle. It's like...
That's the dream.
Really exciting. That's the dream, right? Yeah.
To like do a play with your family.
Yeah. You're like, we know how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. We vibe already. Have you been able to?
You know... I've been taking a break from acting because of the baby. I've been doing mm-hmm. the day job thing. Mm-hmm. But the last show I did was a version of Uncle Vanya with some of my best friends from undergrad.
Oh my gosh.
Before Juilliard.
How wild.
And my best friend directed it.
Oh.
So that was really, really special.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I could have done it forever.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. It's like, sometimes it can look like nepotism in a way, but it's also like... Nah, we just want to be around people that we love and that we, if we're going to like do this thing, be in a room together for 6 weeks, like let's be with people we like.
And you have that history together where like half the work is already done.
Yeah, totally. I would love that.
What does your family make of you making your living as an artist?
My mom was always really supportive because I went to an arts high school and...
In Colorado.
Yeah. With like... We have like a weird Juilliard lineage too. It's
did
like,
you go to the same one as Gabe?
Yeah, Gabe, okay. Justine, me, and then there's like some now after me who would have been like eighth graders or something when I graduated. But yeah, she was always really supportive. I think it was really hard for her to understand the switch into something else because it was like, wait, you went to Juilliard though, like,
right?
Don't you? Isn't that? Aren't you set up in a way, or aren't you like, why would you not want to follow that? So it took a while for me to convince her in a way that like, yeah, it is, it's still the same. And it's also not what I want to do. So
yeah,
why would I keep doing it? but there, yeah, she's good now. She's really cool.
Do you have siblings?
No, I do now, after this wedding.
Some adult step-siblings.
Yeah, I do. I now have, what, 2 stepbrothers and 1 stepsister.
And what does your mom do?
She's a real estate agent.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm her only child. I basically grew up an only child. My dad has 2 sons who are 10 years older than I am, so they were never... They lived with us when I was young, but I never really...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, my best friend's family was like my family for sure, and they were big. I think I was like, oh my god, I'm so tired of being alone. I need people.
That's the best.
Just me and my
mom.
This
is like,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, and they are.
Your
they were all
family.
that was the weird thing. It was like, my mom just got married this weekend, and it's half of it is my friends because they're basically her kids too.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
That's so sweet. And you're about to move to LA with your husband, who's also an artist.
Yeah. He's
a writer, right?
Yeah. But he kind of had the same trajectory. He went to the like Canadian version of Juilliard and then moved here 11 years ago, as an actor, made his own work, you know, was doing the audition thing. And then he got into writing and he wrote this film, and that film got him on a TV show as a writer, and it's kind of snowballed in that way. He's just like a real genius at storytelling. He's really good at it. You know.
What are you guys looking forward to about the change of location? How do you think it's going to like influence your work too?
Oh my God. I mean, just like the lighting alone for me is like a huge difference. As it's raining and difference.
Gray outside yeah. all day today in New York.
I'm like, it's going to be light for me. I'm not going to have to like...
That's true. Be just worried. Practically.
Yeah, practically. But also, I grew up in Denver and I was born out there too, in LA. So I don't know. I feel like it's kind of in my bones. I love the outdoors. I love the ocean and hiking and... I feel like we really had a successful New York go. Like 11 years is a long time, and we
you're leaving thrived. On a high note.
Yeah, I feel like great. We did this, and like now I want a little more of a livable life. I want like space, and I don't want to have to work so hard just to meet the minimum.
Right.
You know, and we're gonna still have to work really hard. It's not like the cheapest city in the world, but. There's more work for him. Yeah. I'm kind of interested to just see. I shoot mostly in my house. So it's like that alone is going to be a completely new aesthetic. Cause who knows where I'll be? The desert. I don't know. I love it. I'm excited.
Do you have a lot of friends who are based out there now?
Yeah, we do actually.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't be so lonely. He also can't drive. So...
Oh no.
Yeah. Maybe chauffeur.
Thank goodness for Lyft.
I know. It's going to be really good though.
Are there any lessons that you've learned over the last couple of years that you're really proud of? It can be something small.
Well, I feel like this is such a good time to come and talk with you because I feel like just now I've come to a place out of 2016 and like all that was and the heartache and shock and death and like real trauma, like there was real trauma there that I think just sort of like shook me to my core of like who am I and what do I want to do and say and with my life if it's this short or could be this short.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm like just now I feel like what that did to me was kind of debilitated me because you peek behind the curtain and you see the illusion. And for me at first it made me go, well, what's the point then? What are we doing? And that's not active or didn't generate anything. And I think I'm just now getting to a place where it's like, great, that's the illusion. So now we get to play and make fun of it and have a sense of humor about it. Mm. And I think just within like the last couple of months, even I feel like, oh, I can like get beside myself a little bit more. I can like, I feel good about who I am.
A little bit of lightness.
Yeah.
Less stress about things maybe.
A lot less.
That's great.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's like a real lesson, but...
That is a big lesson, Jordan.
That's a lesson.
That is a life lesson.
That is a big life lesson.
Oh my goodness.
Took a long time.
And sometimes you have to relearn it, but...
Yeah, like, you know it... Like, I always remember Ralph, you know, it's like, you know it here. I'm pointing to my head, podcast people. You know it in your head, but you, like, need to know it in your heart and in your gut.
Yeah.
And I think it's, like, now my gut...
It's sinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
What sorts of themes are you most interested in your photography? Like, if you're just taking just for yourself, what would you be doing?
I feel like my work always centers around queerness, queer people. But I also feel like I don't try to make political art in any way, but I also feel like because of who I am and that I'm photographing queer people, it's just going to be innately political.
Mm-hmm.
But like I had this series called Recreation or Recreation, just depending on what you wanted to, how you saw it. But I just sort of felt like my work was like kind of recreational in a way. It's like it's easy and soft, but it's also looking at things in a skewed kind of queer way. So it's almost sort of like looking at the mainstream and seeing like what's right underneath that. What's like the slightly queered version of that?
Yeah.
Sort of like infiltrating a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Which one?
Infiltrating.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I think about that a lot in my work.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind. I could do the commercial version, but like I just want to like twist it just enough that people are like, what is it?
What's
that's not
there?
Totally how I think I know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Also, as I was like internet stalking your website, I saw that you took some photos of Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
How did that happen? / what was that like?
So this might be an interesting conversation. Especially with what we're talking about, because I just had a friend who knew someone who was working for his campaign or a donor for the campaign, and it was his first New York fundraising event, and I got called the day of because the campaign kind of last minute was like, oh, we also need like a couple of photographers. So I got called last minute just because I knew somebody.
Specifically,
so it's basically
to take photos
simple
of him, or did,
as that. Yeah,
did
it
you
was
take
like,
photos of like the whole
it was me
event,
and this other so. Photographer who were kind of with him from like the beginning, you know, sort of like quiet, intimate moment, going mm-hmm. out into the crowd, giving his amazing speech. And I also was, I think he's incredible. I want him to, he would be an amazing present. So I already was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm just like supposed to follow him. It was, I was like, I'm a real fan, you know, like
yeah.
I'm a real fan of his. And, so we were, yeah, I just followed him all night. And, event photography is like really hard. You're dealing with so many people,
right.
other photographers from publications, all the people that are there. But I mean, that's sort of like the basic simple story. I'm just a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next day I saw the other photographer that I was with had posted, hey, I did this last night. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I'm sure I can too. So I posted the photos, and I got this call from the guy who had hired me, and he was like, hey, you know, I really love your work, and I salivate over it. And when I get my abs, I want you to take some photos of me. And I was like, where is this going? Like, why are you calling me? And he was like, I just feel like, you know, he's getting traction and people are going to want to start using things against him. And we just feel like his face against your work,
like on your Instagram,
on my
feed
Instagram,
with your other photos.
Yes. Could be viewed as like pornographic is what he said. Or, just like, oh, they could
Ooh.
Say pornographic photographer took photos of Pete Buttigieg. And I just, it's such
and
a,
this was not something that you had discussed beforehand of like, don't share the photos afterwards.
No,
like,
never. And I was also like, well, you knew who, it's not pornographic. I mean, if it is, if you want it to be, if you're going to look at it that way, then it is, but it's not, you know, like, that says more about you than it does about my work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you knew who I was. You knew what my work was when you hired me.
And assumed that's part of what attracted them to you.
Yeah.
When the opportunity was presented or through the friend or whatever.
Yeah. It was whatever it was. It was like, I think the harder thing was, here's a gay person hiring another gay person to take photos of the first gay presidential candidate. But you're not allowed to talk about that or share that.
Right.
Sort of like, or you can come to the party, but you don't get to partake.
Yeah.
You don't get to talk about it. Which I think is just like a bigger conversation about gay people in mainstream, and also like within our own community, how we are still kind of policing each other, mm-hmm. and policing the right amount of queerness, whatever that may mean. But there is like a threshold that I think,
right.
Oh, if you cross that, you're doing bad for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's happening with the female candidates as well, I think.
Yeah.
Conversations of like, what would be electable mm-hmm. for everyone? What would they see as acceptable or accept as a leader?
Right. I think it's similar.
How should we present ourselves to be palatable to them?
Yeah.
The same thing. Yeah.
And I think even sometimes worse, because you have to deal with image, the way your voice sounds.
Yeah.
All of that nonsense, you know, like the way Hillary was just scrutinized.
And I understand that impulse, because I guess there's something that makes you feel like this is so precious. I don't want to overthrow and like mm-hmm. lose my shot.
Yeah, I totally in theory understand, and on principle, I'm like, I get what you're talking about, but you also are missing the main point of this.
The main point and the main opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm not going to... If you think this will be used, I'm not going to give anybody ammo to use against Pete, because I think he's fantastic and I want him to win. But also, you're wrong.
Pretend reality didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you're wrong.
Yeah, and you're wrong. You're just wrong.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. I think it's just like it's like an opportunity thing. I think because there's few opportunities for queer people, for women. Yeah, you're going to be policed by your own community in different ways. You're going to, especially in politics, because it's like, well, we have to like create the best one.
There's already other layers on top of everything.
Yeah.
This just occurred to me with Instagram and like social media and everything being so visual and everyone feeling such ownership over images with mm-hmm. being able to have the phones with the cameras and take their own pictures and share them and like just copy paste up online. How do you feel that has affected you as someone who like, this is your product?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm articulating
No, you have very well. I think, it's really accessible, and iPhone cameras are really good. So it's really easy to make content. I think for me, that's maybe why I only shoot on film for my personal projects. And I think that's just something you can't replicate. And if you want to have that, you have to learn. So I guess that's the thing that kind of makes it a little different or a little left of center. But there are like really good photographers who only use iPhones. I know. And who are also sort of like making a thing out of it, which is also really smart of like,
that's
this
their
is,
selling point.
Yeah. This is shot on iPhone.
There's several films that way that that's like their marketing point.
Yeah. And they're great.
Yeah.
I think for me, I don't know. I like tangible things.
Me too.
Yeah. I like records and books and films, and I like being able to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel any sort of frustration over like the way your images are shared online? Since it's not always in your control.
Sometimes, only a few times, people will add their own filter onto an image I made for them.
Oh.
So then I'll have to be like, can you not put an Instagram filter on
this thing image? I worked that's really all, hard.
And I think it's, and I don't blame them. I think it's just like a thing that we go to of like, oh great, it's on Instagram. Now I can like doctor it up and do whatever I want. But it's like, oh, I don't know, I was hired to like make this for you and that's what and I made.
My name's going to be on it, hopefully, if they credit you.
Yeah. Yeah.
As they should.
Hopefully. I know. That's another thing. It's that credit thing, which I feel like I'm on two sides about because sometimes I feel like, well, it's not about you as the photographer. It's about whatever that thing is. But I also understand that we need credit where credit is due.
Yeah. Well, and that can be the positive thing about Instagram is like, it really does make it so easy to be like, oh, I like this picture. This person took that picture. Let me scroll over here. And like, oh, look at all the other cool pictures.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to thank them for this or whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot of amazing artists out there that I would have never have found if it weren't for Instagram.
I feel like I've only in the last year, year and a half, finally probably used it more the way other people use it. For a long time, I was very determined. I was like, it's so weird. I would only ever look at people I know's photos. Yeah. I don't want... And my profile's still private, but and now I've gotten a little more into like, oh, these public figures who I'm interested in products I'm interested in.
Or even like as a mom. There's
like certain hashtags.
Yeah.
There's all these things, you know, like now that she's eating solid foods, there's all these things about beautiful pictures of like the beginner foods people are serving their babies.
And recipes.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
So interesting all it's of amazing. A sudden.
It's also so weird. Like if you think about, oh, if Instagram went down, what would a lot of us have as a business as, yeah.
Right. Really true.
Yeah.
Do you have any artistic mentors who have been important to you in your career?
I've had mentors. I've had people like show me the ropes or teach me the sort of technical side. It's hard. I guess you don't always have to look up to a mentor. I think that's where I'm like getting caught up is that I'm like, yeah, I've had mentors. I've had people who like taught me things, but then there comes a time where I felt like, it's time to separate. It's time to, I'm no longer gaining or learning the way that I was before. I think I always was somebody who just was like so fascinated by just other artists. So I just was like, oh, I love photo books and I like love looking at images from like the 50s and like how people were crafting the most beautiful images forever ago. So I don't think I've had like one person to kind of show me everything. That wasn't a great answer.
That's okay. Just because I ask a question doesn't mean it's like the most important one for you.
True.
We don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but I was wondering, since you and your husband are both artists, like, how do you kind of balance out supporting each other and being in a relationship with someone who's on one hand, like kind of understands the struggle, on the other hand, is like dealing with those exact same frustrations in a way that can be hard.
Oh my God. It is. And it is like a seesaw. It's like, one day I'm up and he's down and then the next day it's the opposite. He was really amazing and supportive of this transition into photo work. Because I wasn't doing it when we met. And then when we moved into our apartment, I was like, this place is huge. I'm just going to like start shooting my friends here. It's kind of how it started. And he was so supportive. And also he's so creative. So a couple of times he would be around and be like, oh, you should try this. You should have them over there. You should shoot them like this. So I feel like I really got lucky that way. And then, he writes for a TV show and he gets paid really well. And then the TV show is like probably canceled. And then it's like,
Right.
Yeah. He's maybe, you know, you maybe have to go back to the day job. You maybe have to, it is a like true back and forth of both of us multiple times a day being like, oh my God, I'm so scared. And the other being like, it's going to be okay. Right. And then like,
are we going to be okay?
Yeah. Are we? And yes, then it's switched okay. like are 5 minutes later. Where he's like, oh my God, I'm so scared. I'm like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. I think we balance each other out really well that way.
That's great.
Yeah.
So when you do find yourself in that dark place, are there any tangible things that you reach for again and again, like books that you reread or music you listen to or places you go?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I love really sad music when I'm sad.
I understand that.
You know, yeah, it's like
indulgent.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm gonna feel this way. I'm gonna really feel this way. So there's like a couple of artists that I'm like, yeah, just put that on and just be so sad, like the deepest sadness. I try to like stay active. I try to at least just like go to the gym. Even if I get there and I'm like, I can't be here. It's like too overwhelming. At least I'm like, okay, well you took a walk. You yeah. did something active. And honestly, lately, I really think a lot about RuPaul because I think that he's like such a like weird prophet and like, you know, all that like peeking behind the curtain stuff is like all him. That's like, I think he really has found a way to play with life. And I think when you can not take it so seriously, you can like think about the fun that can be had. That always helps me a little bit. There's like one interview in Vulture that he did that I was looking at the other day, actually. And it's from, I don't know, maybe like 4 years ago. That's really good. There's good nuggets in there.
I have to look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like in a pink suit standing in front of the Hollywood sign. Look for that interview. I'll send it to you.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last question is, have you seen anything recently of any art form that you want to share? Or recommend.
Fleabag season 2 is one of the most genius, perfect seasons of TV. Did you see it?
We're just finishing the first season, so I will see it. I'm very excited about it.
Season 2, it's like true perfection.
Okay.
And then I also just, well, it's not new, but I just made my way through The Comeback, both yes. seasons.
Oh. Amazing.
Amazing.
It took me a long time to watch that. I didn't watch the first one until the second one had come out.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Amazing. It's so good. So both of those two things.
I love that. I'm not exactly sure the parallels, but I love that you were watching them both around the
same
time.
There's something though, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's something very similar in there.
Lisa Kudrow. My God.
Oh my God. She's so good. She's so good. Yeah, I feel like we'll watch a lot of TV. It's like also Anthony's sort of like, well, it's my job, so.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not going to argue with that. So.
I think we do that sometimes.
Too. Yeah, yeah, it's true. And you're not wrong. I'm trying to think if there's like good music that just came out. I mean, I saw Robin at Madison Square Garden just a couple of months ago, and that was like. That was like dancing from a lot of pain.
Yeah.
A lot of like, just, it hurts. And just go for it. Have fun.
I love her.
And I felt like her new album is so good. I don't know. These are all like a year old. I don't
know. You've been busy. You're getting ready to move.
Yeah. Like I'm reading Middlesex. It's like 20 years old.
I remember it being good from when I read it a long time
ago.
It's
so beautiful. I just finished How to Write an Autobiographical Novel. By Alexander Chi. That is new.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. It's a collection of essays that in whole make up his life.
Cool.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. I will look for that.
How to Write an Autobiographical Novel.
Jordan, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad we also randomly got to squeeze this in before you leave town. But
me too. It's the perfect time.
Wonderful.
Because I'm terrified.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. If you find these conversations valuable to your life as an artist and would like to support the ongoing production of The Compass, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/thecompasspodcast. Pledges start at as little as $1 a month. You'll get access to bonus content, and anything you can give would be greatly appreciated. Also, if you have a moment, please rate or review in iTunes. Every little bit helps other listeners to find the podcast. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.